reading this evening is from Mark chapter 7. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And Jesus said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus Jesus declared all foods clean." And Jesus said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, where does our uncleanliness come from? Where does our defilement, our sin come from?
Inside.
So some of you have gardens. We all have yards, and we have weeds that pop up. And if you go and you grab a couple top leaves of the weed, or just that top stem, and pull that part out, and what happens with it? If you just... What happens with it? You still got it. It's going to grow back. Why? Because you didn't get the root. Yeah. So what Jesus is addressing here are a list of sins. He mentions a huge, damning, condemning, harsh, ugly list of sins. Theft, murder, sexual immorality, pride, foolishness. But Jesus isn't talking just about the sins. He is talking about the root of the sin. He's not just talking about the thoughts and the words and the deeds. He's talking about the source of the thoughts and the words and the deeds. So every Sunday we confess, before we confess that we've sinned in thought, word, and deed, what do we say? We say, "I am by nature sinful and unclean." We confess our source. The source is our heart. So you've got lots of the world that would say, follow your heart, listen to your feelings, just be yourself. And what would Jesus say about that? Watch out. Your heart can be a very dangerous place. Now, as a Christian, Jesus also dwells there. Jesus also cleanses it too. So if it's the source that's the problem, then what can't be the solution? If we're the problem, what can't be the solution? If our heart is the problem, what can't be the solution?
We can't solve ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Then what is the solution?
Create a clean heart in me, O Lord.
You caught it, right? You caught it. You caught the connection. You got it. Exactly right. Yeah. Create in me a clean heart. And our Lord Jesus, you know, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light, he can speak reality, and he also speaks this reality to you. He forgives you. He loves you. He pours his grace upon you. What he is after is not your actions first. What he is after is your heart first. For from the heart then flow the thoughts and the words and the deeds. So for the Christian, we know that the sinful heart produces sinful thoughts and sinful words and sinful deeds. And for the Christian, we know that the forgiven and the cleansed and the holy and the pure heart also then flow pure and holy and forgiving-like things that we say and do and that we think. Create in me a clean heart. And he speaks. So, you know, it's fascinating. His creative work comes from speaking. And what is? How does Jesus begin? What are his very first words in our gospel lesson? Mark chapter 17, verse 14. Hear me. And that's what you hear doing tonight, right? That's what you hear on Sunday mornings. That's what you do when you say the Lord's Prayer. You are saying, I'm not here following my own heart. I'm not listening to myself because I know what I have within me. I am going to hear him. Hear me. And what he's after is a change of your heart. Psalm 51 is where Create in Me a Clean Heart comes from. And Psalm 51 was the psalm that David prayed after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, after he then murdered Uriah the Hittite, and he continues to go on with life like nothing happened until his pastor, Nathan the prophet, comes, tells him the story about the rich man who stole the little ewe lamb from the poor man who had nothing. David gets mad and says, who is this man? And Nathan says, you are the man. And this is the story here. And this is what David prays right after. Who was David called? You know, kind of bonus points to this. What is one of David's nicknames within the scriptures? He's a man after God's heart. Yeah, that's one of the Bible's nicknames that it gives David. So compare what came from David's heart. I mean, how many of these lists that Jesus mentioned, right? Murder, sexual immorality, coveting, deceit, foolishness, right? That came from David's heart. And remember, the pure and wonderful nickname he get isn't a man after his own heart. It's a man after God's heart. And what happens when you look into God's heart? What you don't see is you don't see that he's mad at you. He loves you. You know, so as I was kind of considering this list, and I wondered if there was like one thing that tied everything together, and maybe there isn't one thing that ties everything together, but it's pretty close, is that as you consider the list that Jesus mentions coming out of the heart of man in verses 21 and 22, maybe one of the things that ties everything together is selfishness. A heart that is unclean is a heart that is selfish. So think of sexual immorality. What is that about ultimately? It's about selfishness. It's about gratifying what you want. What is theft about? It's ultimately about you have it, I'm going to take it now. What's murder about, ultimately? Yeah? It's ultimately about, if it was ultimately about your life, and I love your life, and God gave you your life, then there would be no there would be no murder, but it's I'm mad at you and you deserve to die. Adultery, that same sort of thing. I'm going to do this and I don't care who gets hurt. What's coveting? You have it and I don't. What's deceit? I'm going to lie to you. And why? Why? What's that?
Because
I want to, right? I want to look good. I want to look better. I want you to look bad. I don't know. Envy, slander, pride. So take those things, and one of the things that I did is that's what comes from the heart of man, ultimately, is selfishness. So what the Christian does is they hear the Lord, and they actually look into the heart of Jesus, and what do they see? Do they see selfishness? Instead, they see sacrifice. They see love. They see love. So instead of evil thoughts, you have pure thoughts. Instead of sexual immorality, you have a Lord who is faithful to his bride, the church, no matter how many times she is unfaithful to him. Instead of theft, you have a one who is generous. You have a Lord who gave his life. Instead of coveting, you have one who left the riches of heaven because the thing that he wanted is he wanted you with him forever. Instead of deceit, you have a God who says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Instead of pride, you have one who humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. You know, just you look into the heart of man, and what the Christian does when they gather around is instead of looking in their heart, they look in the heart of God. They see that. So the meditate that I gave to you is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we've been reading this as a family the last 2 weeks. We're going to read it until we have it memorized. We're kind of far away from it still, too. But the we Lutherans have the Catechism. We have the Apostles' Creed. For our brothers and our sisters in the Old Testament, one of the things that they had was this passage right here, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. It was called the Shema, because the very first word is hear, and that's the Hebrew word Shema. So hear. And so this is kind of one of the summaries of the faith, the Shema. Hear, O Israel. Would somebody read that all? And kind of hear what the Lord is getting at when he's trying to get at your heart.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your head and they shall be as four
frontlets
between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates.
Good. So what is our Lord getting at? He's getting at you hearing him, and he's getting at changing your heart. And how often does he want his words on your heart and on your lips? All the time. Did you catch it? I mean, it's just everywhere, right? These things, they shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to the children, to your children, verse 7. And then when you're sitting down in your house, you should be talking. And then when you're walking on your way, you shall be talking about it. And when you lie down, you shall be talking. And when you rise, you shall be talking about it. You kind of get the point of Christian devotion, right? One of the reasons that one of the Christian practices is the first thing you do when you rise is make the sign of a cross in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you lie down, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you've got these things too. You shall bind them on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So one of the things that we've tried to do when we started doing this on the day that we got all the kids cross necklaces, as one of these, trying to, you know, that's just kind of, we don't have frontlets, which was kind of a cultural sort of thing, like a thing you would put right here. You might have seen some things, but it would be always there. We don't do that anymore. We would be kind of weird if we started to do that. We'd stick out. But we do wear jewelry. You can put a little cross on there too, right, all the time. It was before that, but I think the Indian is a very similar, that is probably the culture that is the most like that now, the one that's kind of stuck around. Yeah, that's kind of marked you. Yeah. I'll have to get a picture of a frontlet, because I had it in my mind and then forgot what it looked like. So you shall write them on your doorpost of your house and of your gates. And I think the best thing that we could do is what we do in this church, right? You know, we've got these beautiful windows that are marked out. You know, I am the Alpha and Omega right over there too. And there's the cross at the crown. I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see any of the other ones. but what should you have in your home too, then? Yeah. These sorts of things, that they're constant reminders everywhere you go, to get at your heart. So, and then the final thing I'll point out to you is what we're getting ready to pray. How does it begin? It begins, O God, the source of all that is just and good. You know, the Christian confesses, I am the source of my sin. But God is the source of all that is just and good. Do you get any pictures of frontlets?
I did.
Okay. What's it look like?
It's like a little small hat, like a little small top hat. But then the head was covered. I got out of
it. Oh, okay.
But then the rest of the head was covered. It was just right here, and the rest of the head was covered.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it something for you to look at, or something for others to look at on you?
Others have it on them.
Okay. So you wouldn't see it when you're wearing it yourself, but others would see it on you.
Yes.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's almost like a little hat right here at the very front, and then the rest of the hair is
cut. Okay. Yes. Okay.
That's the front, like a little small part. Yeah. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, like a little small part.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a name. Here. Yeah. And then the rest of his head is covered, but that reminds me of the little dot that.
Yeah, that's what I would, yeah. Anything else stick out for you?
What's hassle? Hassle.
Where are you at?
I'm in the Psalms.
Oh, hyssop.
Hyssop. Yeah. It's gotta be hyssop. Merge me with it? What does that indicate? Merge me with hassle. Well, first
have to find out what hyssop. It's hyssop.
Hyssop.
Yes.
Okay. This is what they gave Christ when Jesus first goes on the cross. Yeah. So I guess we call it herbs today. Kind of like an herb.
We have hyssop?
You cleansing.
From what I remember,
this is
not all the way true, because I'm not sure. From what I remember, hyssop, the fuller phrase would be a hyssop branch. And you would use that to wipe things off, or they did give Jesus to it, indeed. That is part of something that he got on the cross. Maybe they might have tried to get him vinegar from the hyssop branch. Might have too. Yeah. But I think the fuller phrase is hyssop branch. So it's either a plant or it's a tree.
Okay, I don't know.
Okay.
Around the holes or something, you know. It was something that would hurt when you were in the kitchen. But it wasn't a smooth branch, like a sticky stone thing.
We'll have to Google that one up too here. Yeah. Yeah.
After hearing the Bible verse read and then referring back to the, what is it? What we say, it's not the intro. Right after communion, right?
Yeah, created me a clean heart.
Right. And hearing that piece, it reminds me of the fact that we need to always be praying, because the heart that we have, if it was of our own heart, is an evil heart.
Right.
So we have to constantly bring Jesus into it to clean it up.
Yeah.
To give us that right spirit to say the right things at all times, because we, as flesh, because we are sinful nature, want to always latch out those things.
Yeah.
What comes from the heart comes out through the lips.
Right.
Yeah. So we have to always be remembered to refresh our minds on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute basis.
Yeah.
To make sure that we ask for Him to clean that heart up, because we are of nature sinful.
And it is one of the...
Simple but hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
sinful.
We're sinful. Not
sinful.
We are sinful.
Yeah.
It is probably the most frustrating thing as a Christian, is when you are doing those things that you don't want to be doing. And it, because, you know, like, and you're mad, and you're, I know I not shouldn't be mad, and you're lustful, and I know, and so that's what's hard of the things too.
Then we also have to ask Him to not take His. Because part of it is, don't take your hand away from me.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Your presence away from me. Right.
Yeah. So cast me not away from your presence.
Presence, yeah. Cast me not away from your presence.
What happens when you do it?
Because of me. And so we have to constantly pray about that, because there's some evil thoughts that come from the heart, that comes through the mind, that comes out my lips.
Yeah.
And I have to ask for Him to not take His hand away, because I can't do it myself.
Nope. Right. Right. Yeah. Why do you have to keep weeding your garden and your grass? It's because the weeds keep popping
right.
back up. And why do you have to keep cleaning your house? Because it keeps getting dirty, right? And,
right. Because Lord have mercy, I don't necessarily cover it. I don't commit adultery. I don't murder. I don't do all those other things. But there's sometimes where I do envy.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we are jealous of others. We do want to have our pride and have some things better than other people. You know, that's a good thing, but not necessarily to put others down. To not want to have bad things upon us. And I'm not necessarily thinking I'm jealous of it, but I want to be better. But I guess it is jealousy, so I got to pray to the Lord to keep my heart clean and not put me away, because I don't want to be down in the rest of others.
Yeah. Everything we do is tainted by sin, and that gets very frustrating for us, especially when we're trying to do the right thing too. But this one, if you can kind of remember the story last week, this was where the Pharisees and the scribes were trying to wash. They were washing their hands. And they thought that was what cleansed them. And versus what Psalm 51 says is, you know, you, God, you wash me. You cleanse me, and I shall be clean. Where does our true cleansing come from? But, you know, if you want to take your papers home and read Deuteronomy chapter 6 tomorrow morning or in the evening or something like that, know your pastor is doing the same sort of thing. Just as a constant reminder that these should be, you know, the Lord's Word is not a Sunday morning or Wednesday evening thing. It's an all-the-time sort of thing. And as Mrs. Greer pointed out, why? Because we don't just have problems on Sunday mornings. Or Wednesday evenings. It's all the time. Our heart's tempting us. Anything else? Let's rise and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you,
and with your spirit.
Let us pray. O God, the source of all that is just and good, nourish in us every virtue, and bring to completion every good intent, that we may grow in grace and bring forth the fruit of good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gracious Lord, you know that it is not from the pit of our sinful hearts that we pray to you, but it is the knowledge that your heart is open to us and that you have granted us an open ear, and it is that you have created in us clean hearts, hearts that do believe your word, that believe your commands, that desire to do what you say, but also believe what you have promised. So we now pray to you in thanksgiving that you hear us and that we have a heart that is open to hear us. Hear us as we pray for our congregation, for our communities, for those that we work with, for our neighbors, our families, for those that are sick, lonely, caught in the trap of addiction, for all marriages among us, all mothers and fathers and their children, for our government, local and state, as well as national, and for those that we now name with our hearts and voices.
Davis Wilson down there.
David Russell and Vernon Crump.
Real family. Hilda Sutton.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And